Let's go straight to Esther Kaplan and speak with her for a little while. She's waiting on the phone on the road in Philadelphia. Welcome to a station you're very familiar with, Esther Kaplan. And you are, of course, a producer here, also author of the book With God on Their Side, How Christian Fundamentalists Trampled Science, Policy, and Democracy in George W. Bush's White House. So before we get to that, though, give a little pitch for your show.
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It is a real privilege, and I will say we've had you as a guest on several occasions on our program, Beyond the Pale, which airs Sundays from noon to 1, not this week, as someone else will be bringing you a delightful fundraising special during that slot. But, you know, we often tap Doug to break down some of the voodoo economics that are being promoted by this administration. So it's great to now have a chance to be on your show.
And we, of course, should cross-pollinate with a great reservoir of talent we have around here. But now you're here because you have a book that came out late last year, With God on Their Side, about the Christian right and its relation to the Bush administration. And as you say in the conclusion of the book, you know, we're all vaguely aware of this stuff, and certainly I was, but the effect of reading it all in one place, meticulously researched and extremely well presented as it is a reminder of just how overwhelmingly powerful and pervasive the influence is. And those of us who live a secular life in New York City might not be aware of what's really going on. So this is extremely important and valuable stuff you've done here. And like I said at the beginning, we hoped it would have been somewhat rendered somewhat obsolete by a Bush defeat.
But sadly, it did not become a footnote of history.
No, it's all too real. So let's just lay out for a second the institutions of the Christian right. How do they're just not just a feeling or a set of beliefs, but they really do have a deep institutional structure with a long history. So lay out exactly who these people are.
Well, right, exactly. It's a political movement. I mean, that's the most important thing to understand. It isn't just a bunch of churches who happen to have a kind of morally conservative view of theology or something. I actually was at a Christian Coalition meeting back in September, and Jerry Falwell spoke there. And his group, the Moral Majority, which was founded in 79, was really the first foray into trying to politicize white evangelicals as a political force. He was approached directly by conservative party operatives, people like Paul Weyrich and Richard Viguerie, who's become famous for his direct mail operations. Kind of figuring out how to carve out issues and carve out constituencies around issues from abortion onward. They approached him. They even came up with the idea of a moral majority, and, you know, he got on board. But at this event in September, he was kind of reminiscing back to 79 when he founded the group and saying, you know, back then all we had was, you know, my weekly broadcast from Thomas Road Baptist Church in Virginia and one or two other Christian broadcasts, and the Moral Majority was the only group, and, you know, he was kind of gloating about how far they'd come. And what we have now is literally hundreds of Christian radio and television broadcasts with millions of listeners, a National Association of Religious Broadcasters that kind of organizes them politically, a group that President Bush has spoken before multiple times. A whole variety of Washington lobby groups, some of whose names might be familiar to listeners, the Family Research Council, Concerned Women for America, the Eagle Forum, which kind of once was an anti-communist group and kind of morphed into being a family values group over the years. So there's these Beltway operatives, some of whom have, you know, a history in the Reagan administration, some of whom have filtered into the Bush administration. And then there's all these grassroots political organizations out there, the Christian Coalition chapters all around the country, the National Right to Life Committee with its state chapters and local chapters, huge organizations like James Dobson's group Focus on the Family based in Colorado Springs that actually has its own zip code because they get so much mail. He's not actually a religious leader. He's a psychologist, but he's become one of the dominant figures on the right. And then they've taken over other institutions. So, for example, the Southern Baptist Convention, a religious domination, basically had a coup by the Christian right maybe about 15 years ago where they really purged the moderates and sort of took over running that. And now that means that people coming up through Baptist training seminaries are all kind of getting the Christian right ideology there. They took over Republican state committees. A really interesting analysis by Campaigns and Elections, which is sort of a trade magazine for people who do political, electoral work, found that the Christian right dominates, has a majority role in 18 state GOP committees and has an influential role, meaning at least a quarter of the committee, in 44 states. So you can see how they've been institution building on really a variety of fronts, from media to religious institutions to political institutions.
And, of course, we have to take a pause to do a little begging, so please hold on the phone for a little bit. And you're listening to the voice of Esther Kaplan, you're listening to my voice. I'm Doug Heller, but you have been listening to Esther Kaplan, author of the book With God on Their Side and also a producer here on WBAI. You can get a copy of Esther's book, which was published last fall by the New Press, for pledging $100. Take a pause from this and... I return to talk to Esther now. Esther Kaplan, author of the book With God on Their Side, which you can get by calling 212-209-2950 and pledging $100. A book, of course, that Amy Goodman, a name familiar to our listeners, said that it is a brilliant investigation, classic muckraking at its best, and also a Cathopolite masterly expose, 212-209-2950. Now, this country has been Christian for quite a long, dominated by a certain kind of, especially Protestant Christianity, for a very long time. What's different about this gang?
Well, yeah. This has been a majority Christian country from the beginning. Well, not from the very beginning, of course, before the colonial invasion began, but certainly since the genocide of Native Americans, it's been a majority Christian country.
Well, that was the founding event of the country.
Exactly. But I think that there's been an effort to, by people on the Christian right, to really bring Christianity, their particular narrow conservative version of Christianity, let me emphasize, because there are many liberal Christians with a commitment to social justice and the poor who feel as alienated from their politics as secular people do or as non-Christians do. But there's been a real effort to bring that theology right into government. And I think some of the most blatant examples are in the courts, where we've seen Bush nominate people, someone like William Pryor, who has openly called the Constitution a Christian document. These are people who believe that the wall between church and state, that visionary founders like Thomas Jefferson set up, should be torn down, who've said so openly. And through initiatives such as the President's Faith-Based Initiative, which I think he's sold publicly as a kind of who can argue with it, let's support do good charities out there. But what's really happening behind the scenes is that our taxpayer dollars are going directly to support Christian proselytizing.
Now, that's an interesting point. As you point out several places in the book, these sort of social services that the Christian right sponsors, whether we're talking about soup kitchens or ministering to the unemployed or their wacky abstinence-only sexual education, they don't really care about results. What they're looking for is harvesting souls. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, this is the thing that struck me again and again as I traveled in places like Tennessee and Georgia and Louisiana talking to these folks. Is you can't really have an argument based on the facts. When you speak to abstinence educators and you say, look, there's data coming out showing that you can tell young people to be abstinent, and they may even pledge to be abstinent, but in fact, some 80% of them go on to have sex. And at that point, the sex that they have is extremely risky because they've never been told about condoms. They've never been told about birth control. They've never even been told about getting checkups for sexually transmitted diseases. So they're really putting themselves at risk. But this doesn't matter. I spoke to a woman abstinence educator in rural Tennessee, for example, and she said to me, I have friends who've been teaching their daughters the abstinence message since they were young, and they've been really consistent with it. They've really stuck with it. And several of their daughters are now pregnant as teenagers. And I thought she was about to confess to me that she was rethinking the abstinence message. But what she said was, and every one of my friends believed that they did the right thing, and if they had to do it over, they would do it again. Well, and that's even speaking about their own children. There's a kind of sense that the most important thing is to draw that moral line in the sand and damn the consequences.
And if they're running a soup kitchen and feeding the hungry, they're really more interested in converting people than they are in actually feeding the hungry, it seems.
Exactly. And what Bush has done, which is different, there used to always be extremely strict guidelines. Of course, charities have often gotten government grants to do work, but they had to set up separate social service entities to do that. Now, as long as you don't actually use the federal funds for prayer, you can use the federal funds for your soup kitchen, and you can just next door have a prayer service going on, paid for by other funds or run by volunteers, and you can encourage the people at the soup kitchen to go in there, and maybe the very same people are ladling the soup as leading the prayer service. And, you know, it all is kind of fuzzy and bleeding over, and in effect what's happening, because there's so little investigation of it, is that our money is being used to help harvest souls for Jesus. And, you know, there have been legal challenges in three states already, Louisiana, Florida, and Wisconsin, finding constitutional violations. And I think there's a huge amount of it going on out there that's just been going completely under the radar. And as the months tick by, we're going to hear more and more about how there's been such a profound shift going on from the original, church-state intent.
We only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I did want to ask you, Tom Frank has a book, What's the Matter with Kansas, which offers a thesis, among other things, that there's been kind of a con job, this bait and switch operation, in which Karl Rove and the Republicans have convinced a lot of not very well-off voters that to vote for them on the basis of the moral agenda, and then they get screwed economically. But you present some information that a lot of the Christian right is actually pretty much down with the economic agenda as well. What's that all about?
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's something to Tom Frank's argument. If you look at the data that came from union families, if you compare non-union families who did not get access to that kind of, education about their real economic interests, they tended to vote more along values, and union families didn't. So I think there's something to be said for Frank's argument that if people are educated, they may vote differently. But yeah, I mean, when I went to some of the big mega church services, like the big church in Atlanta that Ralph Reed, the former head of the Christian Coalition, is a member of, what you hear in these services is a real sense that if you're following Jesus' path correctly, and of course we can all imagine what their interpretation of correctly is, you'll be rewarded. And if you are addicted to drugs or you're poor and you're struggling, the fundamental problem is that you probably have not fully embraced Jesus. So there's this kind of old Puritan idea at work here that material rewards are somehow a reflection of your spiritual uprightness, and that if you've got any problems in your life, it's really because you've got problems with your religious morality. And so it provides a framework that really allows for these tax cuts that privilege the rich, and for the slashing of social service programs.
And the more the social service programs are slashed, then the more the Christians can come in with their own social service programs.
And have that perfect opening for conversion.
You also noted that a lot of the Christian right thinks of the welfare state as being connected with the modernity that they hate, so they're also opposed to that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think they fundamentally, they're not only religious conservatives. Many of them are straight up kind of small government conservatives as well. But, they do believe that kind of rhetoric that Bush puts out, that churches are somehow better than other institutions, that secular institutions like we have in the city, the Community Food Resource Center that runs soup kitchens serving thousands of people in the city, that somehow they just are not as righteous as what churches have to offer.
All right. Well, what you have to offer is righteous in its own way. Thank you for joining us, Esther Kaplan. And your show is on Sundays at noon?
It is.
Beyond the Pale, co-produced with Marilyn Newmark. And anyone else?
That's it. Well, we have a team of contributors as well. Nan Rubin, Melanie, Kay Kantrowitz, and others, Elisa Solomon. But I'd want to thank you for having me on, and also just really encourage callers out there to call in. I mean, one of the things that this administration really has done in the interest of privileging conservative Christian charities is they've taken money away from liberal institutions and starved them. Family planning clinics, AIDS organizations, and on and on. And it puts a burden, but I think it's a burden that we should take up on all of us to really support our institutions. And, you know, that includes places like WBAI. So I hope everyone does call in during this hour.
All right. Well, thank you, Esther.
All right.
And I've been speaking with Esther Kaplan, author of the book With God on Your Side, which you can get by pledging $100 to this radio station.